Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old, but he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome to our show that's for you, those that work so freaking hard for your money, and you're now ready for your money to start working harder for you today. You want that freedom of cash flow now, not 30 or 40 years from today, but you want it right now so that you can live that life that you love with those that you love. But most importantly, we know it's not just about getting rich. It's about living a rich life, because as you're blessed financially, you have a greater capacity to bless the lives of those around you. Thank you for tuning into our show. Thank you for allowing me to create a ripple effect through you. You guys have been binging, you've been sharing these podcasts. And most importantly, I love the fact that you're taking action and changing your lives right now. If you haven't done so already, check out moneyripples.com. Love to be able to see how we can serve you in any way, shape, or form. Heck, you can even see if you can create enough passive income to get out of the rat race in the next few years by checking out that calculator today. Hey, how amazing would it be if you could create monthly cash flow, passive income, from making at least double-digit returns on your money? And get this, it's only $1,000 or more that you need to invest. Guys, that's exactly what Secured Investment Corp does. They actually do short-term lending to real estate investors that's backed by real estate that you can actually earn double-digit returns on. That means 10% or better. It's also IRA friendly, and you can even reinvest those monthly distributions to create compound interest on your money too. So guys, if you want to learn more about that, go check out securedinvestmentcorp.com. That's secured, S-E-C-U-R-E-D, investmentcorp.com. Okay, guys, so I got introduced to somebody that's actually in a mastermind group with me. Funny enough, we just got more introduced to each other now versus before. My team more got to meet Ray here. And man, I got to tell you what a fascinating story this guy has in the real estate world, coming from China, coming here now into the U.S. Amazing story that if you've ever had excuses about why you're not financially free, any excuses about why you haven't made it or you haven't quite gotten to that point of freedom, you need to listen to Ray's story and shut up. And I'm saying that in a nice way, because Ray's story you're going to love here. So Ray, welcome to our show.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you so much, Chris.
Absolutely. So let's get right to it. Tell us about you. I mean, growing up in China, coming here to the US, what inspired that?
I was kind of struggling in China because the day I felt like I needed to change was the day I got kind of kicked out from my college in China. You know, in China, it's very easy to graduate from university. I was the only one that got kicked out, right? And I was kicked out on the last month of the entire college. And because
why would
I play
they do
video,
that? That's crazy.
I play video games so much. And basically we have Chinese, the internet bar. I went there on Monday morning and I came out on Friday night. That was my lifestyle. I was sleeping on the chair and just playing games all the time. You know, I was like, there are a better way. So,
so you were living a dream life for many Americans today.
Absolutely. So I was in love with those lifestyle. I don't need to worry about nothing else, right? I told my mom and parents I'm going to America. I don't even know where it is, right? I'm going to do something, you know, become a student, do the church work. They eventually agreed. And then that's how things changed for me. But, you know, I became homeless right away when I first came here. It was hard because I was very babied at home in China. Mm-hmm. I was the only child. So I came here, became homeless, you know, and it was hard for 3 months.
Wow. How old were you when you were homeless here?
About 23.
23. Was this before you went to Canada or after?
After.
After. Okay.
Yeah,
so
you
had to go to Canada first, then came down.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was in Hawaii, so I wasn't that bad. I mean, if I were to become homeless right now, I would choose Hawaii first, right? It's very beautiful. Very beautiful. There's a lot of beach. And I just lived in the car for three
months.
Wow.
Were you living like the typical Hawaiian lifestyle of, you know, sitting in a Jeep, you know, that kind of thing? Or you just In a small little sedan? What kind of car are you in?
I was in a small Camry.
Camry? Pretty, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, pretty roomy. And the worst thing is the alternator would not. So I don't even have air conditioner.
Oh. And which island were you staying on? Was this Oahu or is this a different one?
Oahu, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So how did you survive, like, just day-to-day being living in your car like that?
So I just go to the store and eat one meal a day. And if I want to take a shower, sometimes I sneak in the college or I just go to the beach. Yeah. And normally I just have my computer and connect to the school Wi-Fi. They're free, right? And what I did was I just buy and sell those free stuff. So I grab things for free on the internet, put it in my car, I just sell it. All right.
That's did you have an address it went to? Like, how did that work?
I drive all the place. So, you know, if you have, let's say, a table or a small chair you want to sell, I just throw it in the back of my car and then I post it for sale, right?
And, I got you. So you got stuff locally and then you turn around and sold it online.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, wow. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what people give out for free. You know, I have students right now. They're learning land flipping, but on the side, they're grabbing the free stuff and sell them. Some of them made $8,000 per month right now doing that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where you got into the flipping. You know, the flipping fever, right?
Yeah.
So is this when you started doing real estate investing? Was it in Hawaii, or is this after you came to the mainland?
Yeah, so I started doing that, and then I upgraded to flip cars. I was making about $10,000 a month flipping cars, and I started to look for ways to invest some money. So I tried houses, apartments, all these different niches. None of them really work out very well for me. So I had to do something else. So after 6 years of trying, I started to do land flipping, and which is about 5 years ago. And that's when everything clicks. I was doing land flipping in the mainland. I was living in Hawaii. I can do it completely virtual without a big team because there's nothing on top of the land, right? So my first year flipping land, I made about $300,000 just that year.
So what or who inspired you to go into land, you know, leaving cars and now starting to do land flipping? What was the inspiration there?
I guess I tried everything and, I was like, I'm going to try this and see if it works for me. And I tried houses, apartments. I was like, there's nothing else but land. Let me try that. Right. So I paid a guy $70,000 to teach me how to flip land. He didn't teach me very well, not the method I want to get into. So I just started to do it myself. You know, that worked.
And you do short-term flipping. So it's not like, I know a lot of people we've had on the show, they talk about land investing. They're more buying the land and then they sell it on terms. They basically become the bank and sell it to somebody else and then get paid that mortgage payment, right? But you do it very differently. You just flip it. You just buy it and then quickly sell it. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So for me, the term investing doesn't really make sense. No offense to them. But the thing about term investing in land is there's a lot of tire kickers as a seller. If you try to sell your land and the people ask you, this available, you know, even though that's a very small amount of money every single month, you're asking them to pay like $200 per month. But a lot of them are tire kickers. And secondly, is the default rate is crazy high. I always tell people, if you want cash flow, go to apartments. You know, they cannot just don't pay you and you can kick them out. But what's in there for land, right? They don't stop paying. You still get the land though, you know, but they're gone.
Well, land's a lot less expensive than buying one with a structure on it too, right? There's not, like you said, all that complexity, especially if you're working by yourself. If you're trying to do it solo, I would imagine your strategy is much easier to do than someone who's trying to deal with all the tire kickers, deal with potential defaults, deal with, you know, if they're trying to buy, you know, apartments or houses even, like many of our clients do, still, you're having to buy the property. It's more expensive. You're dealing with tenants. Even if you have a property management company, you still have to manage the property manager. But yours is just, I'm in and I'm out, right?
Absolutely. So land flipping is, for me, is a cash cow. I needed to, you know, a lot of money. You can start with very small. My first deal, I bought it for $1,000. I sold it for $2,500. You know, you can do that. And you start this ripple effect, right? I love that word. Yeah.
So it was a low cost of entry because you're like, well, $1,000 make you know, sell for $2,500, you make $1,500 net profit right there.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm talking about the small deals, and you can go very big in land flipping as well.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's lots you can definitely buy into the tens of thousands versus just single thousands, right?
Absolutely.
What have you learned in the last 5 years? Like what were some of the mistakes you made along the way that you're able to learn from and say, oof, glad I've learned that now. That now saves me time and or money.
I think singular focus. So I'm sure that you are the master of your own game because you focus on one thing. That's a lot of mistake that a lot of investors make. They try to do a lot of things at the same time. They're like, okay, this land flipping sound very sexy. And they really made it so simple that I can do this. I think I can do this. But this another guy, Chris, he talked about apartments. So let me try two at the same time. Right. That's a huge mistake. Right. If you do that, go back to your dream. Right. And you can just stay where you are for another 6 years. Like what I was doing, you know, I was there for 6 years. Right. Yeah,
that's true. Many times people don't realize they hear all the marketing, especially from people that are trying to sell you and pitch you these programs about, you know, doing investing. And they'll say, oh, it's totally passive. You can have your virtual team do everything for you, or you can be hands off. But in truth, you own a business. It is your business. And if you're going to run any business, you're not going to open up three businesses at the same time. You're going to open up one business, focus on it, get it producing, get a nice system in place. And then if you want to move on, then you can move something else. But doing at the same time, that's a big no-no. I've learned in my own life too.
Absolutely. It's just like a ripple effect. Like you talk about ripple in your show. And if you throw one rock in the river, it creates a ripple, right? What if you create, if you throw rocks, two rocks at the same time, and that ripple kind of work against each other. So that's how it is with money as well. Yeah, money loves singular focus people.
Well, the thing I can see the advantage of what you're doing too is that it's not passive in any way, shape, or form. It's very active, but it's a very high profit business, low entry, like you said, low price, $1,000. I mean, it might be, even if you buy a lot for $500 or you buy it for $8,000, that's still a lot cheaper than dropping $100,000 onto an investment that you might be more passive on. You could make more money quickly and even start to do more passive investments on the side if you wanted to do that too.
Yeah. The great thing about land is you can earn when you sell. There's a profit.
Yeah.
And you can also earn when you do not sell, right? So let's say I moved to Jacksonville about 2.5 years ago. I bought some land as a half price at that current value by then, right? And right now, the value of the land tripled. So I got at least 500% return on that investment, right? So I also earn more if I don't sell, right?
Right.
So, you know, time will do the difference.
That's true. That was one of the biggest epiphanies to me about land. It probably happened for me about, oh boy, it's probably been about 10 years. I remember hearing for the first time when someone said, you realize that real estate doesn't appreciate. The house, the rental that you buy doesn't appreciate. It depreciates, which is why you get the tax break. The only thing that appreciates is really the land that it's on. The land is what appreciates. It's also what could depreciate potentially, but typically it doesn't really do that very much. It's always the building, the structure that depreciates. Mm-hmm. And I remember for me, that was like a big light bulb moment. I said, wait a minute, if there's going to be appreciation, it's the land. I don't worry about the structure because let's be honest, a house is not much different than a car, although it might be a little bit sturdier, right? But a car depreciates over time because the equipment breaks down. Well, a house breaks down. So, but land, that always becomes more and more valuable as it becomes more and more scarce.
Absolutely. Right now, it became scarce because there are a lot of people getting into the game right now. 10 years ago, if you do land flipping, it's much easier. Right now, it's a little bit harder, but it's still easier than houses. Yeah. So, yeah.
Right. Definitely easier, a simpler format, even though it's more rare. I don't see many people teach it.
Yeah.
Now, you talk about this a lot on your social media, right? You have your Instagram channel. Share that with us.
Yeah, I share the details of the land flipping in my Instagram. My Instagram is Virtual Flip Land. And sometime I share with about my money mindset as well. Mindset to me is huge because I was a janitor after homeless. I was doing like swiping the floors for $800 per month, And after the mindset shift, I was earning about $10,000 per month. So that's a huge difference. And there's a book that I recommend people read all the time. It's called The Science of Getting Rich.
Waddles.
Oh, here you go. And seems like you read that. And not a lot of people know that book, honestly. But, you know, that's the secret behind the secret movie. So
that's right.
Yeah. So that's what
That's a great book recommendation for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll definitely put virtual land flipping. Wait, was it virtual land flip or virtual flip land? There we go.
Yeah, virtual flip land. Yes.
Yep. There. I got it. I'm gonna get it right one of these days. So at virtual flip land for sure. We'll have people follow you. But that kind of leads me to my next question there. Like, because I totally agree with you. Mindset is probably the hardest thing to shift, even more than the money. Because if you can flip the mindset, you can flip the money too. What were some of the biggest lessons you got, whether it be from Science of Getting Rich or anything else that helped you go from 800 a month to making, you know, 10,000 plus a month? What was that shift for you mindset wise?
A lot of people think, at least I was thinking, if I don't have something, I need to hope someday I can get it. And eventually I don't get it for some reason, right? I never figured it out. Mm-hmm. Why I was always wishing for a thing, I never got it, right? So what is a hope for, right? Why do I even hope for it at the first place? So the most powerful people always have this ability. They have it before they have it. So that might sound weird. How do you have it before you have it? Let's say I want to earn $10,000 per month. That's my wish. So if you keep wishing it, and guess what? In your subconscious mind, you lack of it. That's why you wish for it. If you don't have it, that's why you wish for it, right? Mm-hmm. But you can only have it first. You have it in your mind. You know, you are earning $10,000 per month, flipping whatever you want already, even though right now you don't have it now. But eventually you'll have it. So you have to train your subconscious mind to have it before you have it. So everything you see on whatever you see has been created twice. So for example, iPhone, right? Steve Jobs didn't have the iPhone before he had it in his mind. So he created iPhone. You know, he told his team specifically, I have on the phone just one button and control everything. That's before he created the iPhone. So you have to have that thing first and then think about that over and over again. How would that make you feel if you have it already? And once you get the feeling consistently, you will have it. You'll manifest that in your own life. So that's the biggest lesson for me, because I was earning $800 per month. How can you imagine you earn $10,000 per month, right? But that's unless right. You believe that already happened, you cannot make it work.
Yeah, it's a little mind hack, isn't it? It's tricky. It's funny because when I finally cemented for me, because I would read Think and Grow Rich multiple times and nothing changed my life. But when I got to the point where I realized if I can see it, I can get it, right? Mm-hmm. If I can see it in my mind, if I can know almost the point I can experience it, touch it, taste it, feel it, right? Mm-hmm. Once I'm at that point, then I can achieve it. Then it's almost like this. It's like for me, it seems like the easiest way to get something is to get to the point where by the time I get it, I'm not surprised.
Absolutely. Right?
It's not a surprise when I get it because it's already real in my mind to the point where I'm almost shocked that it's not there in reality yet. So when it does show up in reality, oh, well, that's what it's supposed to be. That's what I expect, right? It gets
absolutely
expectation. It's not just a wish or a hope, right? Like I'm not saying that, you know, wishing it's not good. Like it's wishing it, but get to the point where it's not just possible, it becomes inevitable, right? It becomes reality, right? I think that's absolutely what you're saying, isn't it?
Yes. And there's a book about it. It's called The Feeling is a Secret. And, you know, it's the same thing work against you as well, the bad luck. Sometimes, let's say you get into a car accident and you were like, I never expect this, right? But all your bad feelings about your current life will result in that situation, right? So it works both ways. Right. So it's either you are the creator. So you create either ways. So it's a rich life on one side and the other is a victim. You know, I don't have a rich dad. President is a moron, you know, cannot even walk. And this kind of victim mindset, right? So it's your choice. which one right. you want to choose.
That kind of leads me to another question, because your conversation is reminding me of a private conversation I had with one of my friends, Steve Trang. You probably know him from our mastermind group as well. And yeah. we were talking about his upbringing, where he was raised Chinese himself. His wife was raised more Vietnamese, and there's a different culture there. For you being raised in China and then starting to learn about Wallace Wattles, you know, and learning about The Secret and all these other things, was there a challenge there based on your upbringing? Like, do you think there's a challenge if you're Chinese trying to learn these things, or do you think it's easier to accept being Chinese?
I learned all this when I was in America. I didn't know even those books exist in China. I don't think there was a book like that. So they don't put an emphasis on mindset there. They just create a lot of workers, and all the schools, they expect you to act in a certain way. And after your graduation, you're supposed to work for someone else, right? So their class is so strict that you want to jump off the building sometime. And, you know, that was what I felt. So you don't have time for other things. And when I first came to America, I was like, this is free, right? And I can learn all the things I want. And those books helped me tremendously. You know, I just read the English version instead of the Chinese version. So thank wow. goodness I can understand it.
Do you think that's why you tend to see, because I know Chinese, like you said, they're really good at, like, I've noticed China is really good at trying to take something that, and I know this is true in Japan, especially when I lived there, they try to take an idea and then perfect it, right? And try to make it better, or just try to produce that, like try to mass produce it. Do you think that's like, even though I'm not saying very few people, I think the minority of people read books like Science of Getting Rich and The Secret and Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I think that's the minority of Americans. But do you think it's inbred in our culture? That's part of the reason why we try to innovate here more and try to create more. Do you think that's why that's fostered here in America more easily? Like, what's your perspective on that?
I think whatever you focus on will grow. And because we have in China, they have all this academy you have to go through. So every single day you think about the scores, you know, how much score I'm going to get out of this university, right?
Yeah.
So you think about that over and over again. Eventually, you forget about creativity. You forget about everything else to try to create, right? But in the States, I take my kids to school. They're done at 12 p.m., right? In China, yeah. good luck, right? And maybe 9 or 8, right? Wow. So they have a lot of time to create. But I went back to China about a couple of months ago. The technology is crazy improving right now. So it's a different world. You know, you can normally people don't have cash on them. They just pay everything on an app, you know, and you sit on a chair. That chair can charge your phone out of sunlight. Wow. You know, it's kind of crazy right there. But there are people very creative there. So I don't know how they make it work. But if I were to stay there, I would maybe have a hard time, right? Yeah.
Oh, very interesting, for sure. Yeah. I think I was kind of curious to see what the differences are, because I think Americans do take for granted what we have here, because I mean, in a lot of ways, we're almost creating a country that has a little bit of too much freedom sometimes, right? And we kind of pride ourselves on that. But at the same time, I know that some of us Americans feel like we're not free. We feel like we're stifled. And it's interesting to get your perspective on that, because I think we lose sight of that if we're born and raised in it, where if we haven't lived in another country like in Asia and places like that, you really just don't get that perspective.
Yeah, there are truly a lot of freedom here. And I went back there for a month. I sometimes even have a hard time to teach my students some lessons, because you are not allowed to go to YouTube. You're not allowed to go to Google Map. You're not allowed to search on Google. There is a lot of limitation.
Interesting. Wow, well, Ray, this has been a very interesting conversation for sure. I really appreciate your time here today. Again, absolutely. We'll put your Instagram and your social media in the notes here with the virtual flip land. We'll make sure we put that in there. But again, thank you so much for your time. If there's one last piece of advice you give anybody, what would it be?
I would say just find who we are and just stick with it. So when it comes to professionals, There are three kind of people. Maybe there is one that good at marketing. Maybe there is a good one, people good at coaching or teaching. Maybe there is some people good at connecting other people, right? So just pick whatever you think is the natural you when you work, and just stick to that and go deeper instead of go wider. So choose one niche. If you choose apartments, fine, you know, just do that. Don't try to do something else. And there's nobody you need to prove it to. You just have to do one and stay there for 10 years. Of course, you'll get very big.
That's great advice. Yeah. If there's anybody who's proven that's you, because even though it might sound like you've evolved into doing different things, really you kind of went deep and just evolved the method, but you were still doing much of the same thing, everything from flipping chairs, flipping items, to flipping cars, to eventually flipping land. You really did. You really went deep and you just kept taking your strengths and just focusing on that one thing, didn't you?
Absolutely. I'm good at negotiating. So that's what I do, right? I'm terrible at connecting all these people and do a big project. That's not what my strength is, you know?
Right. Man, fascinating story, fascinating, great advice. Really appreciate your time here today, Ray. Go ahead and follow Ray at Virtual Flip Land. And check out his stuff, guys. Definitely, you know, make sure you're following him and take that advice in your own life. What can you go deep on? What can you focus on and make work in your life so you can see more prosperity today? And that's what I challenge you guys to do, is to go and make it a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.